The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
In this episode, we share our very mundane, everyday personal histories and experiences with meditation, learning about it, practicing it, not practicing it, using it, abusing it, misunderstanding it, and eventually getting to a place of actually understanding it. We discuss the meditation apps we've tried over the years, the things we've liked or not liked about various ones, the minimum effective dose of meditation, and of course, what we think is the wrong way to meditate. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome to the meditation podcast. This is the meditation episode.
Welcome. Thank you for listening today. We are going to be talking about meditation. We're absolutely not experts at all, but we know that meditation is something that is, you can't help but see every other post on Instagram. Well, it depends, I guess.
It depends who you follow. Right? If you follow meditation Instagram.
But you see it everywhere.
Mindfulness Instagram.
Everyone tells us you have to meditate and all the things. So we're just going to share a little bit of our journey so far, the things that have helped, the things that we've tripped up on, and let's see what else comes
and
up.
And other unpopular opinions that we have about meditation.
Yes, because...
Well, this whole topic idea started because one day...
Yeah.
As I recall, Sienna, you just piped up out of the blue and was like, you know how they say there's no wrong way to meditate? I think there actually is a wrong way to meditate. And I was right there for it. I am all about calling beeped. I'm all about calling stuff out.
You're not supposed to say that.
Okay, well,
right?
Because
I think you
out.
Have to take that out. Anyways, that's true. That's accurate. I had just finished meditating and... I realized I think there might be a wrong way to meditate.
In the same way that I do think there are such things as stupid questions.
Okay.
But that's not what this episode is about.
Why don't you share a little bit about your journey with meditation and a meditation practice?
Well, the first remembrance I have about and meditation and stuff like that was, gosh, in the mid-2000s.
Okay.
And I remember we met somebody after doing a music gig who just somehow mentioned that they taught meditation, that they were a meditation teacher or something like that. And they were kind of like giving me advice through email over it. For some reason.
I have no clue who you're talking
about. Yeah, I don't remember the person's name either. Right. But that's the first memory I have of okay, you know, are you going to learn and do meditation?
Mm-hmm.
And associated with that experience was the impression that I had at that time was that when you do meditation... What you're trying to do is make your mind blank.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a pond, like a still pond, like a clear sky. You're trying to make your mind blank so that you don't have... The goal, what you're trying to do is to not have thoughts, you know. So that was my first impression of it.
Okay.
And I couldn't do it. And then soon after, I guess I had mentioned that to a friend of ours named Kathy. And she said, later on, she said something about, oh, no, that's not what it is, you know. But by that time, I don't know. And I just went. And I, at that point, I just kind of went on my own distracted way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was my first thing.
Yeah.
After that, I tried the Headspace app. Remember? Okay. And I was with that for quite a while when it was still really new. And for like about a year or two, off and on, you know. And I started to learn more about how it's not really, it's not. Or the meditation that they were teaching was not about trying to make your mind blank.
Yeah.
Following the breath and that sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's continued. So I've used the Headspace app. I tried I tried a little bit of the Calm app.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really resonate with that very much.
Okay.
And trying to remember.
Waking up.
Because I'm sure that I've ended up sticking with the Waking Up app as my favorite.
More than any other, right?
Yeah, as my favorite. Yeah. Because I feel like it has so much other content about just the nature of mind and Zen Buddhism and, you know, so many other things besides how to de-stress.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I've come to. And it's definitely been helpful in, I think, lowering the sensation of disturbing stress and anxiety.
Okay.
More self-acceptance.
Hmm.
And just feeling a little more, I guess, embedded in a good way in life. Instead of feeling like I'm sometimes like I'm drowning, I just feel like I'm swimming, you know, like I'm floating.
And would you say that those benefits that you're noticing, do you think those were like immediate or cumulative?
No. Like definitely cumulative, like, and also in conjunction with a lot of other just journaling and, reading a lot of books and listening to a lot of experts talk about things like evolutionary psychology and, you know, so many other things that relate to just being human.
Okay.
Being a humanoid, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Been, what is that, 20 years? But I think it's definitely helped, and I'm very grateful for those apps. Really?
Yeah. You know, I have to say I know it's like, we're all like, I can't put one more app on my phone, but I would say that a meditation app, whichever one, I think you have to try the various ones out there to find the one that that feels right for you
at this time. And it might change.
Yeah. For me, I did use the Calm app for a while, and I really enjoyed it. I love the consistency of the person who does the main meditation of the day. I thought the visuals were really beautiful and calming and soothing. And then I've done the Waking Up app off and on, and I'm back on with it. But I think the one that I resonate with the most consistently is the 10% Happier app.
Yes.
So that one I love. And the podcasts available on that app are also really great. So you can access the podcasts wherever podcasts are, but this will be no ads and all of that stuff. So that's the app that I use most regularly, and I love it. But I know that when I first learned about meditation, it sort of was that thing you're talking about, like, you know, you have to clear your mind and stuff.
Clear your mind.
So I do think that there has been an evolution of how meditation is taught, because I think that was the kind of general understanding in some circles.
Like, we got that impression somewhere, right? You and
right,
I.
Right.
But did it come from Star Wars? It may have.
Oh,
doesn't
really?
It sound like a very Jedi-ish thing?
Oh, okay. You must clear your mind. I was like, where is that coming from? I have no clue. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
maybe it did come from Star Wars. But I think the way that I've related to meditation the most, where it was taught to me this way, is visioning. So meditation for me, in large part in the really early days, was about a time to vision. So you're sitting there, and instead of making your mind blank, you're filling it up. You're visioning something that you're wanting to manifest.
It's visualization.
Yes, that's the visualization time. And so it's just really interesting because now what I do when I meditate is I try to be a witness, you know, a watcher of my thoughts, a watcher and a feeler of whatever I'm feeling in that moment. Sometimes it's hard to not judge whatever's going on internally. Yeah. Sometimes I'm completely distracted for almost the whole meditation.
Oh, yeah, totally relate to that. Yeah.
But it's about, so for me now, it's about starting, being as present as possible, watching thoughts, feeling feelings, identifying where they are. If my thoughts
come in your body, like, where do you feel things?
Yep, where I feel things, describing it. If thoughts come and just take hold, then the moment that I realize that that's what's happening, I try to just come back, you know? And so I really love, what's really been helpful is, I was going to say Joseph Goldstein, his way of teaching, which is mental noting. Mm. So it's about sitting, knowing you're sitting, and whatever is going on, if you're thinking, then you just mentally say, thinking, breathing, you're breathing. So it's breathing and the things that you're noticing in your process. So meditation really has changed, like, quote unquote meditation, right? What that means for me has really changed. Yes. And I feel a definite, like you, Toast, feel a definite benefit in meditating in the way that I'm talking about now.
Yeah. I guess that's, isn't that what's called mindfulness meditation?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yes.
Because there's so many,
there's different schools, right?
Yeah. Now that we have meditation more in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's neat to see, like, okay, there's more of a general common knowledge about the different types of meditation and stuff like that.
I love the mindfulness meditation because I feel like it doesn't overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
And with all the ways we can so easily be distracted, and with what I find social media does for me, which is just split my attention in every which way.
Right, right.
It becomes so difficult to focus that a mindfulness practice, I feel, really offsets that.
Yes, same here. Right. It the mindfulness meditation does feel like almost kind of like a basic training for being able to handle life during this digital tsunami era that we're living in.
Yeah. And definitely more regulation. It's like
you're talking now about like nervous stress system response.
Yeah. Okay. Nervous system regulation. Okay. So because of the practicing of the noticing, the watching, and being mindful, you're more able to notice, watch, and be mindful when that surge starts coming up and you're starting to get on the roller coaster. But before the roller coaster really takes off and goes, you're able to nip it.
That's really powerful sounding. I mean,
it sounds like that's what you're doing too. You know, when you're saying like it just helps you to be less stressful or less stressed.
Yeah.
And you're able to handle life and swim instead of being like
fighting
for your life and being pushed around by the currents.
Yeah.
You're able to kind of go with that flow. So I think, yeah, I think it's helpful in that way.
Okay. So now with that.
Yes.
Let's share our unpopular opinion.
That we have
wrong way
to meditate.
Yes, there is a wrong way to meditate. Kitties.
I know, I know. So here, my friends, is the wrong way to meditate.
And are you doing it wrong? It sounds like a clickbait headline.
I know. I know. But let me just say first that I think this way that I'm about to share, that's wrong. I think it is inevitably just part of the process to getting to the right way of meditating.
Okay. Yes, you know? I think that's the nature of what we're talking about.
Yes.
Where
it's part of it.
What level are we talking about?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So to me, what I have found beneficial is to see meditation as a time for receiving information, for noticing information, for checking in. So it really is an open space of receptivity and presence.
Okay. Of listening.
Yes, paying attention. Okay. Really paying attention. I think sometimes people meditate they meditate and they try to change things that they're noticing. So it's very
within themselves,
right.
Within ourselves.
Right. It's very, it's more of an active resistance sometimes.
Like trying to perform, like a psychic surgery on yourself or like
sort
an
of,
energetic.
Like, sort of. So like.
Surgery.
So like in the former way of meditating, you know, which is receptive and allowing.
Okay.
In the way that I just described, it's really, so say if I notice anger and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm noticing like, wow, my stomach feels really tight. It feels hot. I feel angry. And I'm starting to think about something that made me angry. In the way that I'm finding helpful these days, it really is just about allowing that to be there, not letting it just drag me down. And now I'm pissed off and,
explaining
now I'm just
why
crazy,
you're so angry and
now
you
I'm
should
like,
be angry and right, how dare it's, they?
It's creating a distance where I get to notice it without judgment on myself, without a heavy opinion about being angry, without, you know, it's just, it's a noticing, it's receiving the information. Okay, thank you.
Oh, look at that.
Versus,
look at that angriness.
Versus,
okay.
Oh my God, I am so pissed off. You notice it and then you're trying to change it. You're like, oh my God. I don't know why I'm still pissed at this thing. I shouldn't be pissed at this thing. So here comes judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's, okay, let me just transmute this energy. I'm going to white light it away. Let me flush this out of my body. Mm. Like you're really, you're not allowing and you're just orchestrating and pushing and resisting and moving. I mean, it's so full of effort. Such an effortful time. Of what feels like judgment and resistance to whatever is. So instead of allowing what is, it becomes resisting and or changing what is.
Okay. And that, the attempt to resist, the endeavor to change, that's what we're saying.
That's the wrong way to meditate.
That's wrong. That's wrong. Don't
Unless,
do that.
Well, but going back to it being a process and you find yourself doing that. So if you go, oh, I'm resisting this. Great.
Then
you know, you're kind of, you kind
observe
of,
that.
You're observing
right?
that.
Then,
wow,
then accept that you are resisting
this.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is a process. But I feel like in the past, I have pushed thought that meditation was a time to transmute and push away an emotion or whatever was going on.
And to turn them into good emotions.
Yes,
or
let
like
me
that.
Feel, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to go to work today. You know what? Oh my gosh, but I should feel grateful for my job. Okay, I am grateful. I am grateful. And then I'm reciting the affirmations. And now my meditation is anything but present. I'm doing so much in this meditation now.
You're working, yes, working, at trying to change how you feel.
Yes, instead of it being a really, a sacred moment of checking in with just what is. Mm-hmm. What is for me in this moment? That's what I'll say is the wrong way. What about you?
Well, that is what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
When you first brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I agree with that. Let's see.
Yeah.
I think the thought that comes up for me as you share that is the common, I think it's common, way that many of us get curious about or start to, you know, develop a meditation practice and all that is because we heard or we think that it's good for us, right? Mm-hmm, like it's part of self-improvement.
Yeah.
It's a part of feeling 10% happier or less stressed and less anxious. So we think it's a good thing. It's kind of like diet and exercise and sleep. It's like, you should do this, you know? And I think all those things are true. Like, there is benefits and you will feel better.
Yeah.
But the irony is that that's going to happen not because you try to be better. It's just going to happen naturally if you just accept that you're not so good right now.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like maybe going for a walk every day. Just try and just go for a walk and you're going to get better. You're going to develop your muscles and your cardiovascular health. Mm. And it's just going to happen. Don't worry about that part. It's just going to happen.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it's that thing of the pursuit of happiness. It's like you don't get happy by immediately going for the happiness.
Yeah.
Or like gratitude. You don't feel more grateful just by trying to feel more grateful.
Mm.
Those things are byproducts of, you know, maybe being deprived of something and then getting it back. And the gratitude just happens naturally. And the happiness happens because you spend time with people that you enjoy and you just find that you're happier. You know?
Mm. Anyways, so yes, I hear what you're saying. I think though that the whole message here is not don't meditate. Meditation has been very helpful, very, very helpful. But just keep remembering that it's not a linear process.
Mm-hmm.
And to just show up, just show up, show up, just keep showing up and begin again.
Yeah. It's life.
Show up.
That's exactly how life
show
is,
up,
right?
Begin again.
Just show up.
Yeah.
And be, you know, sincere in your efforts. But that's another thing I love is like, be sincere in your effort, but not overly serious. Because if you're overly serious, then I feel like that's where the pressure and the stress, it kind of becomes counterproductive. You know, so it's like that's the narrow path. That's the middle way of show up and, like be sincere, but don't get all your panties in a twist over it. And I guess that's what's meant. That's how I take it to mean where it's like, trust the process.
Yeah.
You don't have to like engineer every little thing. That's not what's going to get you the success. The feeling of success and progress is just going to come because you just showed up.
Yeah.
It's not all, it's not all on you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do your part, but then trust that life will do its part.
Yes.
Okay.
That is very good. Also, I just wanted one last thing.
Okay. Yes.
So before I had a meditation practice that took, you know what I mean?
that you found worked and the time was right for it to stick. Yeah.
I would always say, oh my God, I'm too busy. I can't meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't meditate.
I still do that sometimes. Absolutely. Yeah.
But the new research, and I heard about this on the Dan Harris podcast. So Dan Harris is the creator of the 10% Happier app. And he was very happy to discover this information that research shows benefits from just meditating 12 minutes per day for 4 to 5 days a week. 12 minutes per day. So when you hear like, oh, I have to meditate for 20 minutes. Oh my God, I have to meditate for an hour. My God.
Ain't happening.
Right. Yeah.
So what happened
12
once.
Minutes and you can build up to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you feel like you have no time, you probably need it. I know I did.
Isn't that like, the irony of things?
I'm like living like a crazy person. It's like, yeah. No, I need that moment that's going to help me get through what I feel like is no time.
Right.
You know? So 12 minutes.
That, I think that's, when you shared that with me, I was like, oh, great, finally. Because I had, there was a time.
You were doing an hour and plus sometimes.
Well, not for very long. But years ago, one of my questions that I was not able to find an answer for was, what is the minimum effective dose for
they have
meditating?
That. Yeah, they have
but
that.
But now they have that. Mm-hmm. So maybe the research happened between then and now. So anyway, good to know. Thank you for listening. And that has been our non-professional, completely amateur, unpopular opinion about the wrong ways to meditate. And yet, nevertheless, we still have the hope that it will help you live your love story.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts, so you don't miss an episode.